morning.
Good morning, Elias. So good to meet with you again.
And you also. And what shall we discuss?
Okay, I have questions from two of my friends. I'll start with Sandra's questions. We were reading together one of your latest web. Let's see, it was from your group webinar on healing on August of 2016. And you were discussing new technology that, let's see here. There were people wanting to know about this technology. And they said, is there any name of this technology that you described? It was moving in the direction of healing. You said that it's already invented. And that you would express that there are several names that they're attracting to this technology presently, that which will likely change. Most of them are very strictly guarded. They are all privately owned endeavors, and they are very strictly guarded. And so Sandra, who appreciates a lot of the scientific endeavors, and she looks for things that will help her in her endeavors to get better health. She looks to other things like this. She asked the question that there is a technology device using energy that she's aware of, such as Orion, Diacom. She said the inventor has died and there are problems with the support of the device due to power and money struggles. She says there's BioScan Pro, which is what she uses on occasion. She wants to know if you're aware of any of those and what your feel is on those devices. Okay.
And what I was referring to in that group interaction is much more technologically developed.
Okay. Yeah.
What I would express is in relation to any methods that are currently available and individuals can access and use, I would express to individuals to pay attention to their body and what they experience. For the point in many of these situations is it is successful because the individual trusts it. The individual trusts what they are doing, they believe what they are doing, and that gives them a focal point and allows them to move in a direction of altering a manifestation themselves.
Oh, yes. Well, that makes sense. All of these things are just kind of like sugar pills for us. Yeah. Okay, I understand. I'll pass that along to her. she's been struggling, you know, for quite a while, thinking that this one person in the forum had the same essence name that she had. Finally, she found her essence name from one of our old sessions that we had, and it only is different by one letter, alphabetical letter. And she realized, you know, that she had been misspelling her essence name. And so she wanted to know, she says, if essence names are similar, like only one letter difference, then energy signatures must be very similar. She wants to know if that's the case.
At times, it is not a rule. I would express to you that at times the energy can be very similar, but not necessarily. Remember, an essence name is, in actuality, merely a small translation of that energy tone that is translated into what you consider as a word. And in that, the reason for that is that the actual entirety of the tone would be much too long to express as a word. And therefore, there is a part of that tonal signature, if you wish, that can be translated into a word which you designate as a name, and in that, the fact of that one letter may be different is merely one piece of the tone. Therefore, it could be an indication of a similarity between different essences, but not necessarily.
Okay, I think that will answer her question. So, because she had been following this one individual quite closely, she thought that they were of the same essence name, and then you had mentioned that that wasn't her essence name. So it was an interesting thing. Now, that was for Sandra. Now Susan has some questions. She's been following a medium, a channeler, who, I can't remember her first name. It's a mother who lost a son. Let's see, her name is Suzanne Ward. And she channels her son, Matthew. Susan Kirk is quite interested in following these stories that come through Susie from her son and from other sources also. And recently, she called my attention to something that came through that said that one time Hillary Clinton was experiencing health issues and they had to place her quickly into a car and take her off, and she needed a short time of rest, and I guess she had pneumonia or something. And so this is what they stated on this website. It says, Hillary is indeed alive, but she has not been seen in public since being assisted into the car several weeks ago. This is the story that came over the web. And it says that one of her clones is nearby, and that is standard procedure with any person who has been cloned in your society. But her physical and mental condition at that time was too compromised to download information to the clone. Thus, the pneumonia diagnosis was devised to give Hillary time to regain sufficient stability for the download to proceed. After a brief absence from public view, she reappeared looking refreshed, younger, and slimmer, just as she did several years ago when the clones were fabricated. Only the clone and any successors will be seen publicly from now on because of Hillary's deteriorating health. So I said to Susan that I would talk to you about Hillary, and is this true that, according to this, powerful people are being cloned now in our dimension? No. All right. Is this from another dimension?
Another reality.
Another? Okay.
Yes, could express that it is another dimension, for it is somewhat of a parallel reality.
Not a probable reality?
Would be a probable reality. It would be a probable parallel reality. Therefore, you could express that that is a different dimension. But in your reality, no.
We have not been able, we're not cloning humans at this point in our dimension, right?
I would express that you have the technology to do that, and that you are generating some experimental actions in that direction, but in relation to cloning in its entirety, as you have already done with animals, no, there is considerable controversy in relation to that action, and therefore it has not been generated in that same capacity as it has in relation to animals, not with humans.
How would you had actually mentioned in I think that this same group webinar session that they could get the world view of individuals and actually incorporate it into a type of cloning person, right? Cloned person.
You do have that technology, yeah.
We haven't actually done this yet?
Not entirely. As I expressed, there is experimentation. That direction, but not in its entirety.
Well, my issue with this is we had a lengthy discussion regarding, let's see, I had a note here, and now I'm having trouble finding it. Oh, Anne Julie, one of your forum members, a German lady, who went through this parthenogenesis thing where she had a stillborn daughter, and this was a child not fertilized with a sperm, but she wanted a child so much that she actually created the child, and you said this is not uncommon. But you described to me the fact that most of these fetuses that are born in this manner are our own creations, and because they lack the other essence that is needed to create the full personality of a human, and that probably it would be more in the area of realm of a plant that we would be creating in this kind of procedure. Now, did I get this correct in my understanding?
What I was expressing is that at times, individuals can actually create a manifestation of fetus.
Uh-huh.
They can actually create, through a tremendous desire, a physical manifestation in a similar manner to individuals can create physical manifestations born out of tremendous fear.
Yes.
And in that, if the individual is creating that type of physical manifestation, it would not be incorporating the energy and the personality of another essence generating a focus. Now, in that situation, it would be considerably challenging for the individual to maintain that manifestation. Therefore, it is likely that what they would do is they would either generate an action, what you would define as a miscarriage. If they actually brought that manifestation to term and gave birth, it is likely that they would create the scenario that it would die relatively quickly. For it would require an exceptional concentration and projection of energy to maintain that type of physical manifestation that is independent of your own body.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a very good description. Now, the element of needing, at the time when we were discussing this, that we require two essences in order to generate a new personality and a new focus. And I was wondering, in the case of a clone that has a worldview, a type of intelligence inserted into it, would this be a valid focus with a personality?
Yes.
It would.
Yes.
Because of the worldview personality that would be inserted?
Because what I would express to you is, now what you were describing in relation to that statement was, as I expressed, not part of your reality. Now, in that, if you generated a clone, let us say, hypothetically, or let us say that you generate a clone of an animal, which you can do and has been done and is being done in your reality.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, you generate a clone of the animal. Now, what that does is it incorporates the biological structure of the original animal and then develops that into another animal. Now, in that, biologically or physiologically, the clone will be almost identical to the original manifestation. But once it is created, then it interprets its own free will and choice. Therefore, it will interpret traits or even expressions that will be very similar to the original manifestation. But as to that question of the worldview, when you create a clone, you are creating another manifestation.
Yes.
It created a clone of yourself. It would appear in its appearance almost identical to yourself, and it may interpret mannerisms or expressions that are very similar to yourself. Its voice may sound almost identical to your voice. And anything that is physiologically generated and affects how you express as an individual will be very similar. Not quite, but almost identical. Now, in that, the difference is that that manifestation now is a being. And in that, once it has been created as a being, regardless of how it was created in a physical capacity, it matters not. Regardless of how you engineer or what the mechanism is to create what you deem to be a physical life, the process is not actually tremendously significant. Not in relation to essence, not in relation to choice. But once that being is created, it interprets its own autonomy. Therefore, it may seem to be very similar to you, but it also interprets automatically its own right to choice, and its choices may not be the same as your choices. Its guidelines may not be the same as your guidelines. But any physical manifestation is some type of projection of consciousness. Now, in that, any projection of consciousness in your reality is a projection of you collectively, if it is not essence itself. Therefore, it is a projection of essence, just as animals are not essences in themselves, but they are projections of essence. Therefore, in that, they are in being that projection of essence, what you would term to be sentient.
These are the creatures you're talking about.
I'm not merely speaking of creatures, for in this, if you move, in a manner of speaking, deeper and deeper into the creation of physical manifestations in any physical reality, and what those physical manifestations are comprised of, they are comprised of links of consciousness, regardless of whether it is a mountain, an ocean, a stream, a plant, an animal, or you.
Yes.
Are all generated by links of consciousness that collectively cooperate together and move in a direction in relation to space and time that create actual physical manifestations. Now, because everything that is physically manifest is made up of links of consciousness, and because links of consciousness are sentient, everything could be considered to be sentient. Now, you generate distinctions and you categorize some manifestations as living and some manifestations as inanimate. Then you categorize again and express that some living manifestations are sentient beings and some manifestations are not.
Yes, I understand.
Now, if you are engaging the subject of a clone, in that, first of all, that clone would be a sentient being.
Okay.
A sentient being in the capacity or in the definition that you hold of living beings that you define as being sentient, it would fall into that category. Now, beyond that, just as if you create a manifestation in your reality of an embryo and that developing into a fetus and that developing into an infant, that is merely a process, a designated method of how you choose to create the entering of another essence, another being. Mm-hmm. If you choose a different method, it does not change the factor that being will become its own manifestation, therefore will be including the energy and personality signature of an essence. It is merely that you are choosing a different method of how the physical manifestation is created.
Okay, can I interact here or intercept right here now? This would be a different method of creation for us, of creating a what we would call a human being, let's say. And what happens as far as the personality? Now, with an infant, let's say we are cloning only adult forms in the human being. And so, if it's a clone of a person who has died, who then comes into this manifestation, such as my essence, Malia, is projected into this manifestation that I'm speaking from right now. Do essences then project into these clones?
First of all, what I would express to you is at this point, you do not have the technology to generate a physical manifestation of a clone that would be already of adult manifestation.
It would start with this small child, with the baby again.
Correct. Uh-huh. You do not have possess the technology to generate a fully formed, fully developed adult clone of anything.
Of anything, okay. So, at what point, if we have a clone being manufactured or created in a chamber that's in fluid, like amniotic fluid and so on, is there an essence which is helping to develop that clone?
Generally, yes.
Just as there's usually an essence that's helping to develop the embryo within the parental body. Is that correct?
Now, and this would vary considerably in relation to which essence is participating in that. Now, it would, first of all, depend on how that cloning action was being engaged and the desire that is attached to it, let us say. Therefore, let us use the example of animals again, which would apply to humans also. But in this, if an animal is cloned and the animal is being cloned from a specific other animal that, let us say, is a
Is a what? A cow?
a companion.
Oh, a companion. Oh.
And the animal, if the original animal was a companion animal.
Oh.
And the individual that is interactive with that companion animal is expressing this tremendous desire to clone that animal, to be incorporating, in a manner of speaking, a reproduction of their companion.
Oh, yes.
Now, that situation, it is likely that what the individual will do in relation to their desire is that when their companion disengages, they will reconfigure that energy into that clone. That, therefore, the individual is a participant in it.
Oh.
Therefore, they would be contributing a significant energy in relation to the configuration of that clone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the animal, let us say, is not a companion, let us say that there is merely a scientist that is curious and wanting to clone an animal and is experimenting with that action. Now, in that situation, there is no one specific individual that is contributing to the projection of the energy of that animal. Therefore, any essence could project the energy in relation to the physical manifestation of that animal. Now, how that applies in relation to humans would be very similar. If a human wanted to clone, let us say, a child that disengaged.
Yes.
Now, in that, he has a very strong desire, and they may connect essence of that child, and therefore there is a strong possibility that that same essence may choose to be a part of that clone.
Oh.
Or if an individual wanted to clone themselves.
Yeah.
Dependent upon the desire of the individual, it is likely that their own essence would actually separate it in relation to that cloned manifestation. But I would also express that it could move in a different direction entirely, for if an individual wanted to clone a child but was not incorporating that tremendous desire, then any essence could cooperate and could have physical manifestation. Likewise, if science was cloning not connected with singular individual person, that openness for any essence to agree to be that manifestation, to interpret that focus.
Okay. That's pretty precise and all-inclusive. I appreciate that description. Yeah, similar to when the fetus is forming inside of the body then. Okay, yeah. Well, that's interesting. Thank you. I'll go on to a couple stories. One second, I'm going to close a door because it's getting a little noisy in the next room. Hang on a second. All right, I'm back again. Things got a little noisy in the next room here. All right, well, let's go on to another question I have. At the end of one of, well, I think it was the group session a couple of weeks ago, somebody asked the question, which caught my interest, about final focuses. And somebody asked the question, can a final focus actually be situated in another dimension? And you, after a long pause, answered yes. And that caused quite a ripple in the group as well as myself. Let me get my breath here. I was running upstairs. Anyway, in my mind, I was thinking about all of the focuses that you have told me that I have just in this one dimension, which was in the thousands, and I was thinking of how confusing it would have been for me to, and since I am a final focus, why I've been trying to think ahead to that experience that I will have in the future, and thinking of all of those many focuses that I will experience during that phase of transition. And now you're adding maybe another dimension in here yet, and this kind of boggles my...
Stop. Not entirely.
Not entirely. Okay. Hang on.
I answered the question in relation to, is that possible? And yes, it is possible. It is rare.
Okay, rare.
And what I would express is that for that final focus to be expressed in another dimension, it would incorporate what you might term to be extenuating circumstances.
Okay. Which would be what?
Such as, we discussed the situation of the disappeared plane.
Yes.
There may have been individuals that were participating with that disappeared plane that may have a final focus.
I think we can continue. So you were saying that those people who disappeared with the plane into another dimension, there might have been one or two or whoever final focuses in that group.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That means that designated final focus now has been removed from your physical dimension. But that does not mean that it is not continuing to be the designated final focus. It may be. And if it continues to be the designated final focus, then when it disengages, it would signal all of the focuses in this dimension. Now, generally speaking, a final focus would be associated with your individual dimension. Now, that includes your universe. It is not merely associated or limited to your planet.
Okay, I can acknowledge that, understand that.
But occasionally there can be situations or circumstances that a final focus may not be within your physical dimension any longer, but that does not necessarily mean that it is also not continuing to be the designated final focus. Now, understand, none of this is absolute, for final focuses can change.
Oh, okay.
And in that, the designated final focus may choose merely through desire not to be the designated final focus, in which case a different focus would become the designated final focus. Therefore, that can also occur. But it is possible that the final focus could be a part of another dimension. It is also considerably rare.
Okay. What happens to an individual that might have gone over to the other dimension as a final focus and retained that title, I guess, or whatever, and then once that person disengages, does that focus then experience all of the focuses from that dimension as well as this dimension?
Oh, not necessarily. But let me express to you, what you are describing is not actually accurate. For when you disengage, when you die, don't automatically experience all of other focuses either.
No, I realize that there's a period of adjusting, letting go of beliefs and so on before we... Yes.
But even in relation to non-physical transition, the idea of experiencing all of those other focuses is not quite what you think it is.
What
it is not a replay of every other focus and all of those experiences. It is more of a knowing It is more of a natural blending of all of those energies and a knowing of all of those experiences and all of that information. It is not that you are generating some type of action of flashing into every focus that you have ever incorporated in a particular dimension or reality and experiencing all of those experiences. No, that is not actually what occurs. It is a much easier, smoother, gentler process than that.
Well, that's reassuring. I'd hate to have to sit there for a long time just watching everybody go by. So that's good to know. Well, of course, you know, we're all curious about that stage of transition, and so thank you for that. That was a good explanation of it all. I'd like to get to some of my angel stories, because I'm kind of accumulating a lot of information about what really happens in these so-called miraculous stories that I have accumulated over these years. This comes from my book, Miracles and Other Wonders, by Charles Celier, and I think this story might have taken place close to 1994. That was when the book was copyrighted. And this took place in Beals, Wyoming, and was a widower who brought his two children to Wyoming after he lost his wife. And Cassie, who was aged 13, was a very helpful child, and she was going through some fields from her, she was helping a lady out by taking medications to her, but she had not been prepared for this snowstorm that overtook her when she was trying to get home. And so she got caught in the field. She wasn't dressed warm enough, of course, and she actually fell and broke her leg. And she, of course, was crying out for help, and all of a sudden she opened her eyes, and there was an elderly woman close to her, and she says, "I heard you crying, dear." She had a large coat to put around her, and as Cassie was wrapping herself in this coat, she actually pulled a button loose, and the woman stayed with her until her father came and found her. The father was there after dark. He did see somebody in the car lights, but then by the time he reached his daughter, there was nobody but his daughter there. Suddenly the woman had disappeared, and the coat had disappeared. Fortunately, this woman had called the father to let him know where his daughter was, and she had identified herself by the name of Lillian Morgan. And so with all of this, once his daughter had recovered and she wanted to find this lady, and she also had this button in her hand yet to confirm that there had been a person there with her, they finally located this woman's name in the phone book. They went to that address and found out that a sister was taking care of this elderly lady. The lady had been paralyzed for 6 years, and it turned out that this lady had lost her own daughter about the same age as Cassie years and years ago, who had been caught in a blizzard and froze to death. And, of course, this was quite a miracle story to them. And then the sister went to the closet and found this old coat that belonged to her sister. And here, miraculously, it was missing a button. So, obviously, they became very close to this woman and her sister. And they came back to visit them until the woman died. And so I'd like to know, what is an explanation for this story?
I would express to you, my friend, whenever you are engaging these stories, look to the simplest explanation, or the simplest explanation is likely the correct one. In this, it was this individual. It was a projection of this individual. You all have this ability. Now, what I would express to you is that you also all, because you are interconnected, have the ability to connect with anyone in relation to what is important to you, or even if it is not important to you. Many of you connect with other individuals and merely are not defining it in that manner. You think that what you are feeling or what you are thinking is being generated merely by yourself, when in actuality, what you may be thinking or what you may be feeling may be prompted by another individual and their energy that is projecting, and you are receiving it. This occurs very frequently on a daily basis in relation to dreams, but especially if you have an experience that is significant to you, you will likely be more open to other individuals generating similar experiences. It is a very similar principle to the idea that if you are a pregnant woman, suddenly you seem to see many other pregnant women. Because that is important to you. That is what you are experiencing, and therefore, that is what you pay attention to, and you notice. It is not that there are more pregnant individuals at that particular time. It is that you are paying attention differently. Now, when you have certain experiences, especially if they are extreme experiences, and you generate some significant association with them, it is very likely that you will be more open to other individuals generating similar experiences. Now, in that, does this woman have to know about this girl? No. Does she have to know who she is? No. Does she have to be in physical proximity to her? Definitely no. None of those factors are a requirement. Energy knows no boundaries. Therefore, simply because this woman incorporated her own experience and therefore was open to the expression of another individual interpreting a similar experience, and let me express to you, she was open to not only the girl, but the parents.
That's right.
Therefore, in that, that strength of energy can allow an individual to project in the very location that is connecting with the other individual that is generating that similar experience. And in that, dependent upon the strength of the desire and the strength of the energy, the individual can actually generate in that projection what you would term to be somewhat of an apparition. They actually physically transport themselves to a physical location and can interact, and in that it is simply a matter of that projection and the girl pulling the button incorporated the physical evidence for her own benefit of that encounter and of that connection with the other individual. But it does express a very clear example of how strong your energy can be in relation to your desire and what you can do with it. And it is very real.
That is excellent. Thank you for that. I'll add that to my collection of miracles and your explanations of that. We're so much more powerful than we realize. It's amazing to me.
I would agree. And perhaps when you feel something that you cannot quite connect with yourself at some point, maybe interesting for you to experiment with that and allow yourself to discover what that energy is connected to.
That's a very good point. Sometimes I feel that I ignore some of the intuitive impulses that I receive, that I should maybe make a phone call to somebody, something of that nature. But, you know, something simple. Real quick, last one here. I know we're out of time now. My husband, he, of course, poo-poos this kind of information that's coming from you. But I think kind of underneath, he kind of believes in a lot of it. What is really funny is that we have a strange goose that's is around our area that is different from the other Canadian geese that are here. And so we've grown attached to him over the past 4 years we've been here. And I asked my husband to give it a name. So he thought a while and he gave it the name of Henry. So I happened to find a neighbor that was living close to the pond where Henry seems to hang out a lot. And they have been there for 5 years or more. And I said, are you interested in that goose? And he said, oh, yes. I feed the goose in the winter, and, you know, because it stays around, it's getting a little elderly. And I said, well, what do you call the goose? And he said, well, my wife gave it a name a couple of years ago. She named him Henry. And I said, well, this is interesting, since my husband named him Henry. And is this kind of something where they're connecting
to each other and connecting to the goose?
Does that seem like an appropriate name for the goose, huh?
Plus that it is the energy that the goose is projecting, and that manifests in choosing the same name.
Yeah, well, that was kind of interesting. And I had to tease him a little bit about being intuitive there and connecting more than he thinks. He ends up continuing my thoughts very often. I'll be thinking of something and all of a sudden he brings up the same topic. So I think that he's more intuitive than he realizes.
As are you all.
Yeah, I imagine we are. Well, thank you for all of this wonderful information you've given me today. And I'll pass it along to Susan and Sandra, because they're interested in it also.
Very welcome. And I shall be anticipating our next meeting, my friend.
Thank you. I will, too.
Wondrous lovingness to you, as always. Au revoir.
Au revoir. Thank you.